I want to invite you to, if you could, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I want us, before we pray, to affirm that God's word is active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word says of itself that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so sometimes we don't have answers and we're looking for, Lord, where do we proceed from here? And sometimes God's word just gives it to us just as clear as it could be said. And I think we find ourselves, I'm going to say, for in my own life, this passage today has been the sovereignty of God rests on this particular passage. I might add that I've had a very difficult week. This is going to speak to me. I would say that maybe never in 17 years of ministry has a passage been more apropos than certain things that have happened in my own life in the last week. And so I just believe, I say all that to say, I believe this word today is for this church. And so I believe that. I believe that this word today is in a special way for this church. So if you're just a visitor today, you get to be be involved in house talk. You know, you're going to be today part of family table discussion, and that's good, because I think you'll hear from this message the heartbeat of our church and where we want to go and the kind of culture that we want in our church, because we believe that if we're a church that honors God, we're actually going to apply what God says. We're not just going to talk about it, think it sounds good, want other people to apply it, but not apply it ourselves. We're going to apply God's word. And if God's word is going to be active and is going to do something, and if we're going to be claimed that we're a body of believers, then at some point we actually have to do what God says. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
This is we talked about a few weeks ago that Jesus is the head of this body. I'm not the head of this body. Jesus is the head. And Jesus is spoken by the authority of the word. And so I want to invite you today to, with hearing ears and a heart willing to apply what God has to say, I want to invite you to this message this morning and try to be patient again. This will be more house talk than maybe usual. But again, hopefully it will be instructive as to the kind of church that we want here, because we don't want to play games. And I came, when I came to this church 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago now, 27 months ago, I said something very specific, and I want to say it and reiterate it again. I said, if you call me to this church, then what I expect and what I want, otherwise I didn't want to come all the way to this cold, horrible state. That should you call me here, that I want it to be a part of a church where God is active, the Holy Spirit is working, and where my children get to see modeled something different. And everybody promises, if you don't want that, don't call me. And what I expect today is that the way that this church operates is in a biblical manner. Because what I want is my children seeing modeled a church operating in the way that God wants it to operate. Amen?
Amen.
One of the reasons why children are leaving the faith is because they're growing up in churches where they see one thing said and another thing done. And I'm just going to say, this is not for this, I don't know if we're going to edit this or not, but I might as well just say it. But if that's not going to happen here, then there will be other pastors come down the line, but I won't be a part. We're going to operate in a way that God wants to do it, or we won't operate at all. It's what I said when we got here. I also said something else. I said, when we got voted in, I stood up here. I was aware that there were people that didn't vote for me. I know that's shocking. I've met them. People that have told me, I didn't vote for you, but I'm glad now that you're here. There are people like that. I couldn't believe it. I thought we were going to get 100%. I don't even know. Honest to this day, I don't know. Other than people telling me, I have no idea what the percentage was. But anyway, I stood up here and I said, you know what my heart's desire is? And you'll remember, maybe it's on tape. I want to minister to this entire church. Not just those that love me. Not just those that like me. My goal is to minister to this entire church. And we need to confess this morning that this is the church that God has for us. And that might be, and what I mean by that is the church. What I mean is that the individuals in this church are the church that we have. And that might not be something you like, but that's just the way it is. This is the messy, dysfunctional body of believers that God has called us to, in the same way Corinth was a dysfunctional church, in the same way that Ephesus was a dysfunctional church, in the same way that the church in Colossae was dysfunctional. Because guess what? We're all dysfunctional. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. But this is the church that God has for you. If you're a member of this church, this is the church that you've signed the dotted line on. And that you might sometimes regret it. Sometimes you might not like it. Sometimes there are conflicts like there are in any church. But this is it. This is the soil, and those conflicts and those negatives and those people, that's the ground in which God wants you to work out your faith. With all those troubles, does that make sense? That's the soil that God wants you to become, the kind of person that God wants you to be. With these people, dysfunctional, messed up, let's not pretend that we're all perfect. I know it comes as a shock, but I'm not perfect. Comes as a shock to maybe a few of you. Having said that, then, I'm not, by the way, there's no like, this is just, I'm speaking from my heart now this morning. Can you hear me? Colossians chapter 3, this continues as let me pray. And then we'll begin. Lord, we love you. And we just trust the sovereignty of your word. We trust the power and the authority of what you have to say. And God, we pray that you'd speak loudly and clearly about the culture of church that we want. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians, a great book, all about who Jesus is. And we looked at the beginning, chapter 1, about how God is sovereign over everything. God is sovereign over the universe. He's over the church. God is sovereign over me. We talked about the responsibility of the church to preach the word. We looked at that. We don't make any apologies for that. In chapter 2, we looked at the idea that Jesus is Lord, the lordship of Jesus, that if Jesus is sovereign over the universe, he's sovereign over your life. And that means that he has authority and rulership over you. And if that's true, we looked at chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. And so the rest of the book talked about walking with him. We looked at the end of chapter 2 about areas that are gray areas in the faith. How it is that we ought to deal with sort of areas that are are gray. And then last week we began chapter 3 with, importantly, some things that we should not do. Reviewing chapter 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is wrapped up. It's hidden in Jesus. Our whole life is wrapped up in Christ. Hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, will be revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. So there's so little distinction between me and Jesus that when Jesus is revealed, I'm going to be revealed. That's how wrapped up I am in the reality of Jesus. I'm hidden with Christ. And if that's true, God's word, we were told last week, that we're to consider the members of our earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. The wrath of God's going to come upon these things. Don't God's word continue to say, but now, verse 8, put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. These are actions that, if we're wrapped up in Jesus in the way that we're baptized in Christ in the way that He said, and we are followers of Jesus and our identity is in Christ, hidden with Christ, and you put this stuff aside. These are things that we put aside. And today, we want to look at what we put on. What we put on. Verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy, and this is so great, this passage. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the church, but notice the language that he uses. People that are chosen of God. God has chosen us. That's a good thing, isn't it? God has chosen you. Whatever that means, it sounds good to me. All right? Chosen of God, holy, as opposed to worldly, as opposed to fleshly. These are the people that we should be. Beloved, thank God, beloved. So if those have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, notice the words in contrast to what we saw last week, put off. Notice this, Paul says, put on. I was reading this week, and put on is the kind of language that is used of clothing. It's the kind of put on. It's not just like put on top of. It's like put on like what you would with clothes. I found that very interesting. So put on certain things. In other words, you're putting off things. You're putting off things, these slander, anger, that you put that stuff off. That has nothing to do with you, right? You're dead to that stuff. Consider your members dead to those things. You're putting those things off, and you're putting on certain things. Everybody following me?
Yes.
So as a body of believers, for the things that we put off, take off. And then some translations actually translate this as clothe yourself. I don't know if you've got a translation that says it that way. But some translations say clothe yourself because the wording is very specific. So it says, so those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, clothe yourself or put on a heart of compassion. This I find this interesting. That of all the things, all this list that we're about to study this morning, of all the things that is on the heartbeat of God, of all the things that God has in the economy of heaven that we ought to be interested in, he says, take all these things off. And then you would think that, put on worship, put on tithing, put on, I mean, there's all kinds of a list that I would do if I were writing this. You're going to take off all these things, but put on these things. Sacrifice. It's interesting, the list that we're about to see. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Is that striking to anybody else? To me, was all these things are sort of interpersonal qualities that a church has to have with one another. We're talking about put on a heart of compassion. Do I have compassion for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is my actions and my words, are they compassionate? Put on, like you would an article of clothing, compassion. I don't know how compassion happens outside of a context of kindness. Put on kindness. Put on kindness. This message preaches itself. Idea that we'd be mean-spirited to one another. Put off wrath and anger and slander. Put that stuff off, and what we're putting on is compassion and kindness. Humility. This is a tough one. I don't think you can put on compassion and kindness unless you have humility, because humility means, you know what, I've got my own problems. I'm not perfect here. I'm not the self-righteous. I'm not up here waiting on everybody to respond to me. I'm going to respond because I recognize my own frailties. So I have a measure of humility here, understanding that I'm not perfect. And even if I'm perfect in a particular situation between one person and another, I'm definitely not perfect with respect to Jesus, who paid it all for me, even though, does that make sense? Like, I haven't made it with him, and yet Jesus, who had no sin, forgave me everything. And so even if there are interpersonal problems between my brother and sister, I can have some humility. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Boy, is that missing. I know people, but I'm talking about people in my own family that are, and you may know them, sort of, I speak my mind. You know what I'm saying? You know me, I speak my mind. Yeah, okay. So that's not an excuse to not be gentle with people. But I just speak my mind. You know me. I just speak my mind. I just say what's on my mind. I'm going to be honest. Okay, so honesty and speaking your mind is no substitute for gentleness with people. Gentleness. I love this one. Patience. How about that one? Patience. I don't really love that one. I hate that that's in there. Because I'm quick. Kelly knows. I'm very quick to lose my patience. But in the context of this body of believers, patience goes a long way. Patience. Indeed, the word for patience has to do, if you were to look at the original language, it's a word that is reaction-oriented. So in other words, it's a word that exists in the context of somebody doing something to you. So what it is somebody does something to you, and the reaction that you have should be patient. It's about a response to an action that's given. It's not just sort of, oh, I'm just patient. I'll wait on on the bill to come in. That's not the idea of this word patience. This idea of patience is somebody's doing something to you, and there's a reaction that God requires, and it's a reaction of patience. Hold on, I'm just going to sit. I'm going to be patient. Verse 13, I want to make a note that, again, in the original language, the verbs in this particular verse are commands. They are imperatives. Doesn't sound like it the way it's written, but they are imperatives. We ought to, maybe a translation should be, bear with one another. That sounds more imperative, forceful than bear. Does that make sense? Than bearing one another with one another. There's this command, bearing with one another. Let's just talk English. It means putting up with one another. It's interesting that Paul knows that the context of church is a context of people that will eventually have to bear with one another. If we all can we agree that if we all liked one another, and we all were the same, and we were all alike, then there would be no point for us to bear with one another. There would be no thing to bear one another for. Does that make sense? The bearing with one another assumes that every church that in the world that's ever existed is made up of imperfect people with which we have to put up. I have to put up with you, and you have to put up with me. It's just the way it is. We're bearing with one another. It gets better. I even hate to even say it because I'm not good at this. And forgiving one another. I find this just absolutely incredible. I was reading this week. I mentioned it to someone that I've honestly never realized this. I've been studying God's Word for the seminary. I mean, obviously, I graduated seminary in 99, so 96. Anyway, long time. I did not realize that the word for forgiveness here is an interesting Greek word, and how I missed it. The word is charizomai. I said, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, this is why it's interesting, and I didn't know this, the word for forgiveness. The word for forgiveness, charizomai, has as a root the word charis, and the word charis might seem interesting to you because it's from it we get charismatic, which means grace gift. Charis is the word for grace. And we have it there embedded in the Greek word for forgiveness. What forgiveness is pouring grace over people. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is an unmerited, undeserved amount of favor. And so what forgiveness is saying you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. It's undeserved. But I'm going to give you a measure of grace in the same way that God did. I'm giving you a measure of grace, and I'm going to forgive. Are you following that? It is forgiveness is we can't, in other words, we can't separate it from the act of grace giving. And the thing is that everything about our life is grace. Everything about the Christian experience is the fact that Jesus has given us grace where it wasn't deserved. He both gives mercy in that he doesn't punish you when you deserve it, and he gives grace in that he gives you good things that you don't deserve. Similarly, forgiveness is a primary method by which we honor God and look like Jesus, because we're giving grace to people in the same way God gave us grace. We're then charismaing to people in the same way God gave us grace. We're giving grace to others. We're forgiving others. Can you understand where forgiveness is intricately connected to grace in a way that it symbolizes the relationship that I have with Jesus, what he's done for me, and I'm able to give you grace though you don't deserve it? Oh yeah, but that person's wronged me, or they've done it so many times, 70 times 7. Forgiveness is an act of grace giving. You don't have a church that's forgiving, you don't have a church that understands grace. If you don't have a church that understands grace, forgiving won't happen very naturally. Forgiveness. I don't know if there's a heart here that's dealing with forgiveness. I want to challenge you today. Perhaps you don't understand grace if you don't have a forgiving heart. We're forgiving each other. I love this. Forgiving each other? Whoever has a complaint against anyone. Right? These people. In the same way that the Lord forgave you, so you should also forgive others. Beyond all these things, Paul says, put on love. I just want that to settle in. And again, reading and studying this passage this week, it's apparent God's word is alluding to something. It's as though Paul is saying, look, you've put on all these articles of clothing, all that stuff that you've put on top of all of that, the last thing that you put on is, it's not like, it's, in other words, Paul's not saying, yeah, add on top of this list this. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the last thing that you robe everything around is love. That's what you put on last. It's the thing that covers everything else. Is a loving spirit. I think we're struggling a little bit in this area. And if we don't get this right, the whole thing's going to go off the rails. Maybe we've put on other stuff, but at the end of the day, the thing that wraps it all up is a love that we have for one another. That's what it is. Put on love, which is, I love this. I'm struck by it. Again, this passage to me is ministering to me this week, which is the perfect bond of unity. Which is the perfect bond of unity. I want to say as a clarifier to those that are visiting, we don't have a hateful church. I'm not trying to preach that or allude to that. But like any church, there are issues we could shore up. This is one. This is one. I've been in the process of doing some work downstairs in my basement and fixing it and doing some things. And it became very clear very early on that I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not a contractor. I'm trying to put sheetrock. And I did a lot of things wrong right off the bat. Did a lot of things wrong. So I'm kind of learning, and I can do it. And I feel like I can do it. Indeed, I've done a good job for the novice that I am. At least that's what Kelly tells me. But she's also a novice, so she might not know. And I was experimenting with certain glues and adhesives for carpet squares. It became clear that the one that I tried the first time just wasn't working. It's peeling off, humidity or whatever it is. So I'm going to do something else. I went and got some exterior construction adhesive. Liquid nails. Exterior. I'm doing interior work, so I figure this will be even better. I'm going to start laying this carpet down. I can't budge that carpet now. I messed up, and I'm trying to move it. It's like, what's going on? Okay, I used the outside adhesive that's supposed to hold lumber together, and it was just for interior carpet, and now I can't move it and fix some problems. It's a little off, and it's not quite square, and it was too late. It dried, and it's done. The bond with that particular kind of adhesive, liquid nails, extra strength, overkill, exterior for wood and metal, was more than it needed to be with the carpet. And now I'm living with some results. I'm not pointing them out. But it looks good, but there are some things I would have done differently in terms of lining this thing up. It's too late. The bond is too great. And then there were but the first time I did it, the bond wasn't good enough. Now it ain't going anywhere. That carpet's there. I thought about that this week, and I thought about this verse, beyond all things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And if you don't mind me calling out something and being completely honest and up front about how I feel about something, I feel like it's dysfunctional if you have a problem to leave this church. Because the problem that you might have first has to be, now if there's a theological problem, that's 100%. If I start teaching some false doctrine, you ought to leave. But if there is a problem that can be dealt with in the model of, here is what God is doing, let's try to love one another, let's try to understand one another, let's try to deal with this, because this horrible situation is the world that we're in that God has given us. And in that, God's going to pour an amazing work of healing, and His Spirit's going to work and do something and accomplish something. And if we pull ourselves out of that, then God never has an opportunity to work. Can you hear that? I want everybody, for the record, to know that I don't want anybody to leave this church, not just because I love them, but because I think it's better to allow God to work in and through His Word to accomplish what He wants to accomplish, no matter how messy the situation gets. And I don't believe for a minute that God is unable to work through our problems. I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. And what it's a sign of is that bond, which is love, is not strong enough. That's the sign. If we have a bond of love with one another, there is not going to be a lot that's going to be able to break it. Do you hear me? I'm not for cutting and running because I don't like how things are going at my church. God's called you here. God's called me here. God's called the other people here. We all profess to be believers. We all profess to be wanting to honor God. Let's get in God's word. Let's humble ourselves. Let's love one another, and let's figure it out. No, if people leave, and that's their right to leave, if people leave this church, it is not sometimes, I'll just say this, I'll just be polite about it. Sometimes it isn't a reflection on the church. Sometimes it's a reflection on a lack of love. I'm just calling it the way God's word puts it. I see it no other way. If we have a bond where we say, look, I know that you've offended me, I'm upset, I'm angry, I don't like what happened, but I believe the best in that person. And I'm going to go to that person, I'm going to try to heal this thing, I'm going to try to do it God's way, I'm going to try to bring God's grace into this matter. Anything less than that is less than what God's calling us to do. We all just need to put our big boy pants on and listen to what God's word says and submit to it. It's been said that I like it when people leave that are troublemakers. That's been said. I want you to know it could not be further from the truth. There's nobody, again, I apologize, this is inside home table talk, but it's the passage that you came to. And if you're a new person in this room, you might as well know, we don't apologize. This is what God's word says, and we're gonna say it. This is what we live our life on. So it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but you might as well know that's the kind of preaching that happens here. We're not apologizing for what God's word says. So having said that, then, I want you to know as a congregation, everybody that has left, the extent to which that's happened, I love them. I want them to come back. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not for an attitude or a way of doing things that says, well, I don't like what's happening here, I'm out. That is not what Colossians chapter 3 is teaching us. Do you receive that today? Can we receive that in the spirit in which it's given? And let me tell you what the spirit is. The spirit in which it's given is that I love this church. I want it to grow. And I am not for a spirit of division. What I want is a perfect bond of unity. And where that comes from is from a loving spirit. Well, I don't like that person. How many times have I heard this? I don't like that person. That person's this, that person's that, that person's that. Well, have you taken the time to get to know that person? Well, I've never talked to him before. Well, look, I don't have ears to hear it. I don't have ears to hear it. You haven't even humbled yourself enough to go to get to know the person that you profess you don't like. Shame on you. We have a body of believers here that's meeting together to honor God. We're caught up in all this stupid stuff. What happens when this happens? When this happens, when this kind of attitude happens, a loving spirit happens, what happens? Verse 15, peace happens. I love that. I think we could use a good measure of some peace, don't you? I'd love to go home and fall asleep today. Let's rest. Know that everything is well. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I found it interesting again as I studied that word for rule is not like kingdom rule. It has to do with like an umpire would make a verdict. And so what we're doing is we're saying, let the peace of God, let peace be the verdict on every situation that you come across that's unsettling. Every time you come upon a situation that's unsettling, it's bad, it's negative, you have interpersonal conflict, and all that happens, and you're like, man, what's going on? I'm very unsettled. Let peace be the verdict. Let it rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. This is also important. Are we in the word? I've been admonished, I may as well say it now, that we ought to be very clear about a truth. I might as well talk about it. And here's the truth. That if you indeed, I think I've been clear, but I want to make it very clear. If you aren't in your Bible studying God's word in a way that is for you, in a way that admonishes you, studying, learning it, tackling it, making it part of who you are, if you're not doing that at home, you're going to mess up the works of what's happening in this room. We may as well make that clear. Let the word of God richly dwell within you. How does it dwell within you apart from a proper study of it? I love this, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. One of the reasons why we do different kind of music here is because God's word clearly tells us to. Admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This morning, as we close our table talk, I want everybody to be on some page with me. I want everybody, let's realize we're all messed up. Well, I've got problems, and it's in these problems that God's going to work his kingdom out. Those troubles are the thing that God is going to use to bring you to the kind of walk with God that he wants. It's through trials and tribulations. And trials and tribulations don't drop out of the sky. Sometimes they come from people. And we take that and we say, God, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be loving above all else. And when that happens, the peace of God's going to work through me. But we contend with one another. We deal with one another. We don't leave when things get tough. We buckle down and say, I'm going to honor God here. I'm going to find a way to honor God here. Unless there's some theology that's a problem, I'm going to find a way to love my brother. I'm not going to cut and run. I'm going to allow God to work in and through me in this church. Anything less doesn't honor God, period. God is speaking to us this morning. He's speaking through his word. We can submit, not submit, that's your choice. But I have to tell you, if we're going to be a healthy church doing what we want to do, because our goal is, and we make no bones about it, we want to love our neighbor and love God, but intrinsic in that is we have to start here. We have to love one another first. We have to love one another. God's word clearly commands that. If we can't love one another, how in the world are we going to go out there and convince anybody that we love them? Not going to happen. Yeah, church doesn't love one another. They come out here trying to bless me. I don't love one another. We love one another. As we love one another because we love God. And out of that, we love our neighbors. And we got to get past the petty. We got to get past the silly. We got to get serious about what God's calling us to do so that we can reach this neighborhood out here, because there's a world that's lost and dying. And we're stabbing one another and God's not honored. Wake up. The stakes are too high. We're not honoring God, and we need to call it what it is. I want to close by saying, I'm glad I preached this message this week. I wouldn't have gotten any gifts for pastor appreciation. I guarantee it. I think that well dried up. You need to know, I love this church. I love this church. I love this church. Everybody loves this church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people in this room. And if you're not convinced, I want to convince you. I love this church. And what I want is for us to love one another. That's what I want. That's what God's calling us to. It's going to be hard. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it ain't easy. I ain't even pretending it happens in a week, month. It's something you have to work at. Loving one another does not come natural. For God, it comes very natural to love us. For us, not natural at all. Very hard. But I would encourage you to lead, that your actions should lead your emotions. Begin to act loving, and hopefully your emotions will come after that. Serve the people that have hurt you. Go intentionally love the people who've harmed you, who've said something against you. It won't be easy, but it's going to be worth it. I love our church. I'm preaching out of, I have to be honest, this is the first time in 10 years that I'm preaching out of, I don't even know how to put it, I'm just preaching out of some unsettledness. And it's interesting that this passage comes this week. It cannot be. It just cannot be a coincidence. It cannot be a coincidence. God has put this sovereignty of God on our plate for us to absorb it today. Take it, hear it, follow what God has said today. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. If you today have not have the most of you today are here and you say, I have no idea what's going on. And good. And by the way, there's nothing that's tremendous going on. It just happens that this is what we're preaching on today. For you, God bless you. But I think everybody in this room needs to learn from something. That the goal is, if for nothing else, hear this. Forgiveness is connected to grace. And the bond that we want to have as a church is love, plain and simple. And if that happens, then there's not going to be much that happens that breaks that bond. It's going to be like the carpet that can't be pulled up. No matter how much I pull it, I'm just going to start ripping stuff because the glue ain't going anywhere. That's what's going to happen here. There's no harm that you're going to do to me that's going to push me out. Never. God will call me out, but I'm not going anywhere. Can you receive that today? Will you receive it? I want us to leave today happy, like we just sang Kumbaya and we just had the greatest time, all right? I want us to be happy. Here's the thing. I want us to love one another. I want us to love one another. Are you with that? Can you do that? Amen. Let's pray. God.